Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me his servant from the womb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Over the past couple of months, one of the things that I've seen many of us have grown in is in our relationship with Jesus Christ. How we've grown to read his word better through our scriptures, to enter into a deeper relationship with him through more intimate prayer of asking God questions really from the heart. And many of us have grown a deeper relationship with Our Lady, who is our patroness, our mother, through praying the rosary over and over again throughout the day to have her lead us to her Son. But one of the things that is more difficult for us as Catholics to really delve into is actually the life of the sacraments. Because for many of us, what they are, even though we've received them over and over again in our lives, they can become empty rituals. We don't know why we go through them. We don't remember what it was when we experienced those first sacraments, the ones which we receive only a couple times in our lives. So what I want to do is to begin a journey in this new year through them, to enter into the life of the sacraments that God has prepared for us. And so what I want to do is do three things very briefly, is to first take a look at what sacraments are in general, so we understand what the sacramental life is. But then also today, a look at the first sacrament that you and I received that entered us into the Christian life, baptism. And then briefly to lead us through an exercise which I hope becomes a daily exercise to help us live that out better. So to look at sacraments in general, we need to look at a couple things first. First, we need to look at what the definition of a sacrament is. We need to be able to see why is it that Jesus gave us sacraments in the first place, and then we can look at what the importance of sacraments are for our faith. So I want to teach during this homily. Why? What is the definition of a sacrament? Does anybody know what a sacrament is? I've given you many definitions of sacraments over the course of our time here. Each time a little differently, but what is the definition of a sacrament? Do you know? A sacrament is an outward sign of an inward transformation. A sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Jesus Christ that transforms us interiorly by giving us his grace. So the first thing we see in that is that a sacrament is a sign. It's not like a sign like when you go down the street right here and you see that big red octagon up there that commands you to do something or not do something. It's not like that sign, but it's a sign that is full, a full sign, a sign that actually brings about what it signifies. It doesn't just tell you to do something, it changes something within you. It gives you something. What it gives you, sacraments give you grace. Give you grace. And can anybody tell me what grace is? Yes. What's grace? Yes. Grace is what?
Yes.
Gifts. See, that's a common definition that people give. But it's more than just a gift. It's a gift which is more than anything you got for Christmas. It's actually the gift of why Christmas exists. Rhonda spoke well. It is God's life, his power, his strength entering into your human being. It's the very divine life which we have an opportunity to engage within. Grace is God's life, and he puts it inside us. So that's what the sacrament is. But why does Jesus give us sacraments? You know, we talked about this a lot, many times over the course of it. Because, you see, there's a gift that God wants to give us. He wants us to give us something that we couldn't do on our own. Because we couldn't achieve our salvation on our own, we can't do it. God wants to give it to us in a way that we can receive it. And so he gives us the sacraments. So really, it's for two reasons that Jesus gave us the sacraments. Like we talked about last week, we're human beings. Because we're human beings, that means we have this soul, but we're not just souls that are floating around, right? We have something else. Bodies. And because we have bodies, that means that we experience the world through our five senses, through our sight, through our touch, through our taste, through our hearing, through our smell. They tell us about the world around us. And the second thing is that not only do we have this sensible body, but we're addicted to things. We are attached or enslaved by our bodies in such a way that that's the only way we know how to encounter the world. So what God does is he recognizes that, and so he hides himself in the physical things that we're already moved toward so that we can better relate to him. He hides himself in physical things like the sacraments. That's why God gave us the sacraments, why Jesus established those for us, so that we could find him through them. And the final thing about sacraments in general is that they're not magic. It's not hocus pocus. It's not a magical thing. Why would I say that? It's because with the sacraments, like the Eucharist, take the Eucharist for example, it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity, right? Body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And if we're receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, that has the power to transform us, right? To transform everything about us. But does it always do that? Do we always go away from receiving the Eucharist with this amazing euphoria that just lifts us up into the heavenlies because God is living within us in this moment? Or sometimes do we not feel anything? Why? Well, because the reason is I'm not always disposed to receive the grace that God wants to give me in the sacrament. That I can block the grace which God wants to bring into my life if I'm not disposed to it. If I put up this wall between me and God, then I've cut myself off to the grace. It's not magic that happens, whether I want it or not. I've got to prepare myself to receive it. So if I'm going to gainfully receive any of the graces of the sacraments, I have to be willing. I have to open myself up to what God wants to do in me. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen. And so that's our struggle as Catholics. So each and every time we come to receive a sacrament, to make sure we're ready. Saying, God, I want this to happen. I believe you can do this. Do it in me now. To have that disposition of openness to God. That's why we pray the prayer of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, whatever you want. So that is why the sacraments aren't magic. So what about baptism, the first sacrament that any of you of us enter into? What does it do for us? Well, primarily it does five things for us. Five things. The first two are the most important. The first thing that it does is the sacrament of baptism destroys the work of sin within our lives. Kills original sin, but also any other sin that we could have committed. Kills it. And actually gives us the freedom to live by grace, not by sin. But the second thing that it does for us is it makes us the adopted sons and daughters of God forever. That we can always call upon God, as we will later on in Mass, our Father, because he really does adopt us through the sacrament. Enters that life of grace into us. But it also, thirdly, makes us a part of the body of Christ. So that when we receive the body of Christ, we are joined to Jesus Christ, really, actually. So we can say, Jesus is my brother. And even more so, gives us a new relationship, unites us to his holy church. Just like we talked about last week, we're not journeying through this Christian life on our own, but we have a family, each and every person who's here. But even each and every person who's ever been Christian in the entire existence of the world or ever will be, we're united to them by that bond of familial grace, which God gives us to relate to one another. And lastly, the fifth grace that we get from baptism is that we become sharers in the church's mission. You know what the mission of the church is? It's salvation. Salvation. That's the only reason why God brought the church into existence, is so that people could encounter his salvation in the way that he set it up. Firstly, we got to encounter it ourselves, make sure we ourselves are on our way to salvation. But then secondly, those who are closest to us, our family members, our friends, and then ultimately, pray for God's salvation to cover over the whole world, that all souls may come to encounter Jesus. That's what baptism does within us, those five graces. That's why that salvation of souls is the chief goal, and why we pray in that, Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do whatever it is that you want, God. That's the mission of the church. So baptism is this extraordinary experience for us. But many times, we don't experience it. And if anybody has anybody experienced baptism as an adult come into the church? Nobody in this church has. Well, for us, you guys all had good parents who brought you into the Christian life at an early age as children. That's a great thing. But a difficulty with that, because many of us receive it as young children, we don't remember it, right? We don't remember exactly what happened there. We can't remember how great it felt or what it changed in our lives. And so it becomes really difficult for us. We baptize children for very good reasons, mainly because Jesus said it's necessary for salvation. And what happens if a child dies without without baptism? How can I be saved if Jesus says that that's necessary for salvation? If you want to know more about that answer, come on Monday. We're going to talk about it in the baptism class. But God enters us into that life, and if we're too young, maybe we don't remember exactly what happens. So what God gives us as an opportunity is to engage that in as adults. A lot of us did that at confirmation. Some of us received confirmation when we were little babies too. But that's another opportunity. Does anybody remember what happened to them at their confirmation, how it felt, what that experience was? No? Not even young Krista remembers. She's not raising her hand either. And it's been less than a year. So what the church does is she offers us that opportunity to renew our baptism each and every year on Easter Sunday. Renew our baptismal promises. But does that take its full effect? Well, no, that's not enough. That's not enough. That's why within 5 to 7 years of when people experience their confirmation, sadly, many of them stop practicing their faith. That's a problem. The problem is because they don't recognize what happened in them when they received the grace of God pouring forth into their life that Jesus instituted in the sacrament to bring them into himself. If we did at that moment, maybe we forgot about it. Maybe we distance ourselves from God, and that's why we have so many difficulties in our lives, how we feel aloof from the Spirit so often. It's not because God left us. It's because we, in little ways, stepped away from him. Or maybe in some big ways, left him until we could no longer see him and hear his guidance in our lives because of our sins, because of our wayward walking. So that's why God gives us this opportunity to come back to him. The sacraments actually let us touch God and really to let him touch us at our deepest center, to transform us, to give us this life of grace, his power within us. But they aren't magic. We have to allow him to do it, to renew them within us. And so that's what I want to do here at the very end. At the very end, I want to ask you all to take an action with me, to actually stand up with me and to profess together. Now, if you don't want to do this, you don't have to. I don't want it to be something that is meaningless. But if you actually want to renew the graces of God in your life, I invite you to do so. And so what I want you to do right now is all we're going to stand together right now. And if you don't want to do what it is after we stand, you don't have to. So let's go ahead and stand. And what I want you to do is in this moment, I'm going to read those same promises that were made on your behalf by your parents or by your godparents on the day of your baptism. And to rededicate ourselves to them right now, to say, yes, this is what I want to do. Sometime in our life, later on, we were supposed to do it. We were supposed to affirm these for ourselves. But if we didn't, today we're going to do it. And so I say to you, do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his empty promises? Do you renounce sin so as to live as in the freedom of the children of God? Do you renounce the lure of evil so that sin may have no mastery over you? Do you renounce Satan, the author and prince of sin? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died and was buried, rose again from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? Brothers and sisters, this is our faith. This is the faith of the Church of Jesus Christ, and we ought to be proud to profess it and to renew it each and every day within our lives. That's what the Christian life is about, to make that movement of faith within ourselves. Now, the Christian life isn't about having a priest or having a deacon come before you and tell you the right things to go in life. It's not what it's about. Christian life is about power, about God's grace entering you and transforming you from within. Through the sacraments, God does this. The grace that he comes to dwell within us, and especially through that first sacrament which we receive, the sacrament of baptism. Baptism which makes us Christians. And so what I want to urge you to do is to daily make that renewal, which is why, even though I tore this one up on accident, trying to pull it out of my Kindle, I made these little sheets, and they're at the back of the church, and we'll pass them out during the announcements. So each one of you can take them and daily renew them if you wish to make your baptism real, to turn away from Satan and to turn toward Christ in belief, better and better each and every day. I want you to pray them. But even more than that, not just to pray them, but to pray them aloud, to speak forth their existence with your own voice, to make them your own, to possess them. Because that's what it means to truly be a Christian, to live that life. To know what God has given you in grace, but then to cooperate with it in your daily life, to use his gift. So I want each one of us during this week to rededicate ourselves to the baptismal call which we had at a very young age. So that when God looks upon each one of us, he can say to us, just as he said to his beloved son, Jesus, he can say, that one right there, he's my beloved son. That's my beloved daughter right there. And I take great pleasure in her. And I will promise to do everything I can to take care of her, because she's mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.